Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk to you about the explosion that's taken place on the Kerch Bridge or the Crimean Bridge. And this bridge is a 12-mile long construction that's been built by Russia, linking Russian mainland to the Crimean area that was annexed back in 2014. And this explosion has caused material damage to both bridges. So we've seen a collapse of the road bridge, and we've also seen damage to the rail bridge. And this is going to cause Russia some major problems with regard to the supply lines that they're feeding into the southern section of the areas of Ukraine that they're currently occupying. So in today's episode, I have a quick recap on the situation in Crimea. We'll have a look at the details of the bridge, because this was a landmark piece of construction by Russia, and the road and rail connection was seen as being the final piece in terms of the annexation of Crimea, as this being part of Russia. I'll then share with you something that the Russian authorities posted earlier this year, which stated why there were 20 reasons why this bridge was impossible for Ukraine to be able to attack. So we'll go through some of that. And that information is really interesting because it includes the use of dolphins for military purposes. So we'll have a look at that topic. I'll then show you some video footage of the bridge as it is right now. And then I'll go on to talk about the implications of what this means for both Russia, Ukraine, the war, and the global economy, because potentially this is yet another turning point in this war and could actually be bad news for the global economy. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary and we'll talk about what's going on with regards to President Putin. He recently celebrated his 70th birthday, and the day after those celebrations, this news has come through. So this won't be making him very happy and potentially could push him further along the road of thinking about some sort of major response against what's happening in Ukraine right now. And obviously that would include the potential for a nuclear strike. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm making good progress towards 200,000, but I'm still quite a long way away. So if you could help out, that would be fantastic. Don't forget, I always include chapters. So if you don't have time to watch the entire video, you can skip through things and just pick out the sections you'd like to watch. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And once again, thank you so much to everybody that supported the channel. Really, really appreciate it. Before we go on to talk about the bridge and the implications of this explosion, I thought it was worth recapping on the situation in Crimea. When the Soviet Union was broken up in 1991, Ukraine, which included the area of Crimea, was given its independence. Now, as you can see from this map, the land area of Crimea is separated from Russia by a 12-mile gap, which is known as the Kerch Strait. And this strait is the stretch of water that joins the Black Sea to the Sea of Azov. Now, almost as soon as the Soviet Union was separated from Russia, the Russian authorities believed that the people of Crimea wanted to be part of an enlarged Russia and that they should take control of the area. And in 2014, under President Putin's orders, Russian forces invaded Crimea, and after a period of occupation, a referendum was held, and it was reported that 97% of the people who voted in that referendum wanted to join Russia, and Russia formally annexed the area that was previously known as Crimea. Now, this all may sound very familiar because this is exactly what's happening in Ukraine right now. On the 24th of February, Russia sent forces into four areas in Crimea. They held referendums at the end of September, and they've now declared an annexation of Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson. Now, the main problem that Russia had with regards to the original annexation of Crimea back in 2014 was that they didn't have any land access to the area. In order to provide supplies, they needed to send everything over the water. So as a result of this, Russia announced that it was going to embark on one of the biggest infrastructure projects that Europe had ever seen, the construction of the Kerch Bridge. Now, the existing Kerch Strait Bridge isn't the first time that bridges have tried to be built between Russia and Crimea. In 1943, during World War II, Germany actually constructed a cable car crossing between Crimea and mainland Russia. However, this was subsequently blown up by retreating German forces. In 1944, the following year, Russia actually constructed a 2¾-mile railway bridge. However, design and construction errors led to this bridge being washed away by ice flows in February 1945. Following the annexation of Crimea in 2014, Russia announced that it was unilaterally building a bridge that would link Crimea back to the motherland and enable supplies to be fed directly into the region. This video shows the design of two parallel bridges, one for railway traffic and one for road traffic. The bridge was seen as being highly symbolic of bringing Crimea back into the Russian motherland, as it would remove reliance on inadequate sea and air supplies for the peninsula and allow Russia to independently supply Crimea, whose economy had become dependent on significant subsidies from Moscow. And the bridge was seen as being symbolic in terms of creating a physical attachment to Russia. The geology of the Kerch Strait is difficult as it has a tectonic fault and the bedrock is covered by a 60-meter layer of silt. In addition to this, around 70 mud volcanoes were found in the area of the strait. And as a result of this, more than 7,000 piles support the bridges, and these piles were driven up to 300 feet beneath the water surface. Some of the piles were driven in at an angle to make the structure more stable during earthquakes. Work began on the bridge in May 2015, and more than 200 bombs from World War II were found in the area during pre-construction clearance. Three temporary bridges were built to facilitate access, and the main construction started in February 2016. In December 2017, all road pillars and spans were completed, and by April, the asphalt concrete was laid onto the road bridge. On the 15th of May 2018, the road bridge was officially unveiled by President Putin, who led a convoy of trucks, driving one himself across the bridge in an inauguration ceremony. The road bridge was officially opened to traffic on May the 16th, 2018, and the rail bridge was opened 2 months later. The total cost for the construction of both bridges was $3.7 billion. So the Crimea Bridge was opened personally by President Putin and was seen as being a landmark in terms of bringing Crimea back into the Russian motherland. Now, from the moment that it was proposed, Ukraine were opposed to the construction of this bridge, and the security of the structure is of paramount importance to Russia. So much so that following the start of the Ukraine war, Russia issued a graphic which showed the 20 different ways that they are currently protecting this bridge. And you can see here the detailed defense systems that Russia have put in place to make sure that nothing untoward happens to the bridge. And this includes satellite monitoring of the full 12-mile span of the bridge, surveillance aircraft and fighter jets that can be deployed to defend the bridge, anti-aircraft vehicles, handheld anti-aircraft missiles, radar systems, warships, submarine divers, and most interestingly of all on this, military-controlled dolphins. Now, military-controlled dolphins might sound like something out of a sci-fi movie, but training and utilising dolphins for this purpose is genuinely something that Russia have been using for the defence of this bridge and also the whole Crimea water area. So how do you go about using dolphins for military purposes? It's not like you can give them machine guns and train them to shoot people. So there are a variety of ways that theoretically dolphins could be used to the benefit of Russia. Firstly, they can be trained and then fitted with surveillance cameras on their fins to enable Russians to be able to see if there are any potential threats coming under the water. But it's also been claimed that Russia have looked into the potential of strapping explosives to the back of dolphins and then trying to use them to blow up any potential ships or submarines that are looking to attack the area. So this is essentially a suicide dolphin mission. So you may be thinking that the Russians are crazy for even considering this, but I have to tell you that it's been reported that the USA have also been looking into these techniques for a number of years. Back in the 70s and the 80s, it was reported that the USA was trying to train up sharks to go on suicide bombing missions because they believed that dolphins were potentially too intelligent to be able to go through with it. Now, I can't tell you how successful the use of dolphins and sharks in military missions has been or will be going forward, but I thought I'd share the information with you because it put a smile onto my face and I thought it'd be a little bit of light relief for everybody during the course of this video. At around 6 a.m. on Saturday the 8th of October, an explosion took place on the Crimea Bridge, which caused significant damage to both the road section of the bridge and also the rail section. Now, you'll be able to find video footage of the actual explosion on the internet, but I won't show you that here because there is a potential that there was some loss of life involved in that, so I don't want to show it, and there's also YouTube rules and regulations about showing those sort of things. But let's have a look at a video which shows the aftermath of the explosion and the state of the bridge right now. So you can see from the video that some of the road has now actually collapsed, so it's fallen into the sea, so it's completely unusable. And it's been reported that 7 railway cars caught fire as part of the explosion, and damage has been caused to the railway bridge as well. Now, there's no confirmation as to the reason for this explosion. Ukraine have not accepted responsibility, so they've not come out and stated that it was anything to do with their military people. But from the footage that I've seen online, it looks like a truck has exploded on the bridge. And the big question is whether or not this was some sort of bombing incident that was organised by Ukraine, or whether it was an accident. Now, at this stage, there's obviously no way of being able to give you a categorical answer. But in terms of timing, this incident has come after a lot of recent gains that the Ukrainian forces have made against Russia. And I recently reported in a video that the Ukrainian authorities had mentioned Crimea as being an area that they still had not given up on. They haven't agreed to the annexation. They don't agree that it's part of an enlarged Russia, and they would like that to be part of Ukraine once more. So when you look at the timing, it does seem very coincidental that this explosion has taken place a matter of days after there's been some talk about Crimea being returned to Ukraine. But in terms of the military planning that's gone into this, it would be quite impressive if Ukraine have been able to organise this attack, because this area is around 100 miles into Russian-controlled territory, and the Crimea zone itself has been entirely occupied by Russian forces since 2014. So this would be quite a feather in the cap for the Ukrainian forces if they've managed to pull it off. So what are the implications of this explosion? Well, as you've just seen in the video, the road and rail connections are now completely closed down. They are not going to be usable for the foreseeable future. And as we mentioned earlier in the video, the land underneath the sea is potentially quite volatile. It's in a tectonic plate, it's potentially open to earthquakes, and so an explosion like this may well have rocked the structure and caused some structural damage. So fixing the bridge back up again won't be as simple as just replacing the road surface and getting the rail operational again. There will need to be significant tests to make sure that no structural damage has occurred and undermine the usability of this bridge going forward. And prior to this war starting, that would be a problem in itself for Russia, because Crimea is entirely supported by the Russian authorities. So all of the supplies and all of the equipment have to cross this bridge on a daily basis. So losing this access will be a major problem for Crimea and its economy. But the issue that we're looking at right now is much bigger than that. If we look at this map, you can see the areas of Ukraine that are currently occupied by Russian forces. Now, the majority of the area that's occupied to the east, around Kherson and Melitopol, all lies on the opposite side to the Sea of Azov. So in terms of providing supplies and equipment to the forces who are fighting in those areas, the easiest and most direct route that Russia has been using is to feed all of these supply lines over the Crimea Bridge into Crimea and up into the occupied territories. So the fact that this bridge has now been taken out will mean that Russia will no longer be able to move any of those supplies. So that means that they won't be able to send ammunition, replacement equipment, tanks, other military equipment that is heavy and difficult to transport over the water. They would want to send this on the train system, on the road system, and feed it through to all of the troops. And that's aside from all of the food and all of the other supplies, and also all of the people that it's wanting to send. As you'll know, Russia has mobilized around 200,000 additional fighting forces over the last couple of weeks, and they need to be sent into these areas. And the easiest way to have done that would have been to send them over the bridge into Crimea and up into the southern areas. So the loss of the access provided by this bridge is a major setback for Russia at a time when they're already losing a lot of ground. Over the last few weeks, Russia have lost more than 6,000 square kilometres and they're being pushed back on a daily basis. Dozens of towns are being liberated every single day in Ukraine at the moment. So Russia is very much on the back foot in this war. And the loss of this supply network means that it's going to be even more difficult to keep all of the troops fed and equipped, which will put them in an even weaker situation going forward. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the loss of the access provided by this bridge is a major development in this war. Russia has been on the back foot for the last few weeks and needed to go back onto the offensive. And in order to do that, they need to get more equipment and supplies to the front line. And it would appear that Ukraine have now hit one of the major access points that Russia has been using in order to weaken Russia's position further. And this will provide a major logistical challenge to the Russian forces, because they're now going to have to change their plans and work out a way how they're going to move all of those supplies. But this isn't just about supply chains. This is about momentum. And the momentum in this war is currently all with Ukraine. They're winning all the battles, they're pushing Russia back and hitting them in the middle of the Crimea area that Russia have controlled for 8 years sends a really strong message that they are not prepared to give up. President Putin recently announced the annexation of the four zones in Ukraine. And since that point, Ukraine have been upping the ante. They've looked to escalate this into a genuine war. And that's one of the concerns, I think, from the global economy's perspective, is what we're seeing here is this becoming a real, genuine war that potentially now could go on for a very long period of time. President Putin was hoping when he announced his annexation that this would lead to a swift resolution, that he could agree some form of negotiation with Ukraine and the West, and that Russia would get to keep these four areas in exactly the same way as they did with Crimea back in 2014. But that plan has completely backfired on President Putin. Ukraine and the West have said they absolutely don't accept the annexation. And what we're seeing from Ukraine in response is actually they're hitting Russia deep in the heartland of an area that they believe has already been taken back into the motherland. So the bottom line is that Ukraine is not prepared to roll over and agree to Russia's demands. And we know from history that President Putin will not give up this fight. He will not be prepared to lose face and accept that he's not going to get these four areas of Ukraine. So we've got two sides that are not prepared to back down. And unfortunately, that tells you that we've got a war that's likely to go on for at least the rest of 2022 and possibly well into 2023 and maybe even beyond that. And as I've mentioned before, the longer that this war goes on, the worse it is for the global economy. Because firstly, it's driving up prices. So we've seen the price of oil, commodities, food, a variety of other things go up at the start of the war. Some of those prices have started to come back down, but the reason they're coming down isn't because of the war. It's because we're seeing a contraction in the global economy. So that's a supply and demand issue. But the impact of the war is that it's still causing shortages, supply chain problems, and it's keeping prices high. And as well as driving up inflation, the war is also causing a lot of volatility. So a lot of markets around the world are very nervous because nobody really knows what's going to happen next, whether any other countries will be drawn into this war, whether a stray missile could land into a NATO country and cause NATO to have to enter into the fray. So there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things could go wrong that would make the situation much worse. And another issue that's causing a lot of concern and uncertainty is what will President Putin's reaction be to all of this? The destruction of this landmark project, the $3.7 billion bridge that he personally opened in 2018, this was seen as being a really big step forward in terms of Crimea being permanently part of Russia. The destruction of this bridge the day after the celebrations for his 70th birthday, is personally humiliating for President Putin. And this comes on top of other humiliating aspects of this war over the last few weeks. Russia is losing this war. That will not sit well with him. And it increases the risk of him doing something drastic in retaliation. And as I'm sure you're aware, the most drastic way that he could respond to what's going on right now is to hit that red button and send a nuclear missile into Ukraine. Now, hopefully he will take a calm, collected and measured approach to what's going on and decide not to do that. But there is a possibility when you've got one person who makes the decisions on these sort of matters, it could happen. He could decide that enough's enough and he wants to do something to bring a swift end to this war. And obviously, if that happened, it would be bad news for Ukraine. It would be bad news for Europe because we potentially then would enter into the next level of this war. It could bring in all of the NATO countries. We could see a retaliatory nuclear strike. Whatever happens, it would be bad news. And clearly, from the global economic perspective, that would be the worst case scenario. We're teetering on the brink of a global recession. But if this war escalates and more countries join in the fight, then that will speed up that recession and make things much, much worse. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You found it interesting, useful and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.